Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Community Geek Podcast. This is Greg, here with my co-host, Richard Millington.
Good evening.
And we are back with another episode of Community Content. First of all, we've got some site news here. Lots of new members in the past week, so as has become customary on the show, we're going to give them a bit of a shout-out here. Shout-outs to Catherine Martin, Beth Sorty, Jane Stevens, Kurt Vandera, Vivienne Valzan. I love that name.
You are struggling with these names today, huh?
Maybe. Denise Sposato.
I love her. She's terrific.
Yeah, I can't wait till she starts posting. She's out of the office for a few days, but I guess she applied remotely and didn't expect to be approved so quickly. But she should be in there posting pretty soon. And actually, we just had someone join this very day, a Mr. Martin Reed.
See, Martin's a really interesting one. When I first began doing blogging about the community space, he was maybe the only other person that was doing it back in 2008, I think. And his blog back then was terrific. He hasn't been posting as much as what I'd love him to, but he's a very smart guy. He's got a lot of experience, more than most people on the site, more than what we do, I think. So it's great to have him.
Yeah, over a decade, I believe, if I'm remembering his app right.
Yeah, terrific guy.
And another piece of news, we have a new community member spotlight. This is we put out the first part of this a while back, but we never really had it featured on the site properly until we got the site front page relaunched last month. So I've sort of been just letting it stay up there, give Simon, who got the first nod to that, his time in the sun. But of course, it's time to move on. And in this case, the spotlight is now on Mr. Jürgen Derlat. Jürgen was a really great interview. He's German. He writes guides for us. He's an excellent poster. Really interesting guy. And it's a must-listen interview. If you haven't checked it out, please do. All right, on to our first story. A podcasting guide has been released for Community Geek members. I wrote it. This is probably the most asked-for thing of me by people in Community Geek staff and members probably in this entire time I've been here. Like, Greg, you should really write a bit about podcasts. Or how do I do a podcast for my community? So I just decided to go with it. It's not by any means an exhaustive thing. It's very much a quick and dirty guide to get you a good show concept, get you all the different software you need as free, as low cost as possible, and sort of walk you through a crash course of how to edit things, what the settings should be, what kind of things to look out for, and of course, how to release your show. Now, Rich, you were one of the people who had asked me to put all of this to paper. How do you think it turned out?
It's horrific.
Oh, no.
No, it's good. I think it's something that can be useful, not for every community, and even on this podcast now, like, I think it takes time to get into the swing of it. It takes time to realize what your comfort zone is and what you want to talk about. So I think that's part of the joy in doing it. And it's a great way to talk about the news and talk about things at a greater depth than what we can do on the site itself.
Yeah, I love podcasts as a format. I've really found my passion here. Writing is cool, but it just doesn't have that interactivity, that real-time conversation feel. And I just love that. So podcasts has been perfect for me, and it's, like you said, not every community, but if you're considering it, you know, it's become a very popular thing, and people are becoming much more interested in podcasts as a medium. They incorporate it into their daily lives, whether it's listening to it at work, listening to it while they're jogging, anything like that. So if you're so inclined, you think your community is suited for it, it can be a really good way to augment the other things you're doing with your content stream to reach your members at different times in a different way.
Cool.
All right, Rich, tell us about some upcoming events happening. There are some big ones.
There is. So next week on Monday, I'm speaking at MozCon in Seattle. So this is going to be the biggest talk I've ever done, actually. There'll be 1,300 people in the audience, 2,600 eyeballs, all looking at me. But I think it's going to be a terrific event. Moz is one of those places where they began as a search company. They began with a blog. They're kind of similar to us as an organization, only we haven't reached their scale quite yet. And what they do is amazing. Their community is amazing. Their community staff, Jennifer Lopez, Erica and Charlene are terrific. So I'm really looking forward to that. We also have registration, or not we, but our partners Quip also have registration open for the event in Australia. So if you want to see Michael Wu live, if you want to see Justin Isaf live, if you're based in Australia, if you just want to soak up some sun, then you can attend that event, and registration is open now at swarmconference.com.au.
I'm really excited for MozCon. I can't wait. Moz has become one of my favorite companies to watch since I got here at Community Geek. They're just, I mean, it's an SEO company, but they really prioritize community in their business structure. They have a really unique culture. Like you said, a really amazing staff. Jennifer Lopez and I are Twitter buddies. But she's just great.
And their founder, Rand, is a terrific guy as well. His honesty and his openness, sharing everything about his company, is just amazing. So I really hope that that event goes well.
Yeah, I think that trickles down too, because their blog, it reads almost like a collection of white papers. They really go in depth. Like, really in depth.
Yeah, absolutely.
So no pressure on your biggest, most important, largest audience, all that pressure, all those eyes constantly watching every little thing that you do, speaking event. But, you know, it's a great opportunity as well.
It should be good, and I'll put these slides up on Community Geek as well next week.
All right, we also want to talk a bit about a post made that's gotten some interesting discussion going. Jessica Malnick asked, what's your take on banning community members? And obviously, this is an issue we all have to face eventually as we're managing our communities. It's not just posting content. It's not just reaching out for growth. But sometimes you have to take a hard stance on some people that are, you know, behaving in a way that's not conducive with what you're trying to build. So how do you handle that?
So my philosophy here is that every second that you spend on a member that is disruptive or is causing trouble or is just a negative person is a second that you can't spend working with the good members in your community to do something amazing. And I tend to be very harsh with banning members if I don't think they're a good fit for the community. It doesn't have to be that they've broken this rule and received that many, many warnings. I'm not interested in what's best for that individual. I'm interested in what's best for that community. And that usually means removing someone very quickly, so I don't spend hours of, and I know community professionals that spend hours of their day, hours, trying to get people to be happy, and that doesn't happen. It's far better if someone isn't a good fit for your community, if you as a community manager know they're not a good fit, just to take them out and just to remove them very quickly. Not to waste your valuable time trying to make them happy or trying to deal with every complaint they have or trying to make them see the light. That's my take on it.
And in my case, thankfully, I've never had to ban someone from Community Geek since I've been here. We just haven't. I haven't even come close. Everyone's been really constructive, very friendly, and very positive so far. In my previous life, working with EVE Online, I have had to remove quite a few people from the community that I managed. Sort of a sub-community within EVE's larger community, just one that I ran, nothing company-sponsored, but, you know, it was pretty active, a lot of good core members, but you always get that, those people that are just, they just don't get it, they're either disrespectful or just outright hostile, and the issue that I found was I, at my core, I believe, as you believe, Richard, not to spend tons of time on them, just cut them out and just have them go. But I have had cases where I've done that and said exiled member has tried to harass the community in other ways, either through non-platform communication means or bad-mouthing it in other places, attacking the public sides of the website, things like that. How do you address that problem?
Honestly, I usually don't. And I don't because it's not happening inside of the community. And the more you try to address it, the more difficult they tend to be. If you do have to escalate it, then you can. You can give them a warning. You can try and reason with them. If they're doing something that's a crime or against their ISP terms of service, you can write to the ISP and try and get them removed. Or if it's illegal, you can contact the police. But really, like, these people, they're not worth your time. Unless they are elite hackers in some particular way, which so few of them really are. At best, they might have a a proxy that lets them sign up for the site again and again. But it's relatively quick just to remove them from the site.
Good luck. They're behind 7 proxies.
Yeah, so my point is just to spend as little time as possible with this crowd. Like, it's far better to spend all that time working on developing really awesome, amazing stuff that your members are going to love, rather than try and make your negative members a little bit happier.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. There have been times where I've had to take some extraordinary measures specific to the game, nothing cop-related. But in general, your best defense, especially if someone is trying to spread misinformation about your community, or say that it's a horrible place, or say that you did this or you did that, your best defense is to keep the community healthy and growing, because the positive voices from your happy members will very quickly drown out any detractors that are bitter because you removed them.
It tends to be very much depending upon what type of community you're running as well. For a community of professionals, it's very unlikely that this is going to be an issue at all. But in like the consumer sector or where you're reaching that big mass, then it's going to be an issue.
Ah, fair point. Another thing we want to talk about, a news post that you wrote, Richard, just a general lack of interest in upcoming books about online communities. I took a look at that list as well. There's just like 1-2 tops coming out on the Amazon list.
I noticed this when I was at CMX the other week, when I was at Fort Forum Con as well. We were kind of talking about what kind of books we were reading, and none of us were reading books about online communities. We were reading books about psychology. We were reading books about the future of technology and all those sorts of things, and the sharing economy. But I've noticed there are so few books that are coming out about online communities at the moment. If you look at the best-selling books, I mean, they're from 2010, 2011, 2012. We haven't had a really good book about online community that's being released in a long time, which could mean that we've run out of things to say, or there's nothing interesting that's happening in that community space, which is possible, but I think that's a shame. I think what's happening is that there just aren't people in the community sector that are writing books. And so if you're listening to this, please write a really good book about communities, because I think we need it. I don't think we're getting enough great speakers out there right now.
The interesting thing for me is, while books are going down, the number of interesting presentations and speaker topics are going up. Like, there's a lot more community events that I've noticed, and the speaker quality in them generally seems to be, if not holding at a high level, perhaps increasing even a little bit as events go on. And they're really interesting presentations with very valuable contributions. I'm wondering if the equivalent not being translated into the printed word is because if you look at the timetable of when some of these books are being put out 3-4 years ago, and you figure they would probably have been researched for at least a year prior to release, online communities were still a thing, but still had a lot of shininess left on them. Now, maybe they're a little more commonplace.
I disagree. Online communities have been around for a long time, and I think the shininess wore off around 2006, 2007. And if you look at the rise of social media since then, that's tend to have taken over. And there's still a couple of good books out about social media, I think. But books that are dedicated specifically to online communities, the places where people actually bond and connect at a deep level with one another, and how to do that, and successful case studies of that happening, they're drying up. And we see on the speaker circuit, there aren't that many new voices that have come along. If I think of people that have genuinely introduced a new idea recently, it's hard to think of a good list. Maybe Nir and BJ Fogg with the habit-forming technologies, maybe one or two others as well. But we haven't really had that many new ideas in the community space. And that's why I think we're missing it. And I think there are so many great people out there that could write a book, so many people I would love to write a book. I just think either they're not finding the time or the motivation, or something isn't quite clicking yet for them. And we need those books. We desperately need more good books.
Well, is it a financial thing? Is there not as much money in writing them as there used to be?
I don't know,
because I've never written a book, so I don't know that side of it, but that's got to be a factor.
So the book that I wrote, Buzzing Communities, back in 2012, that book costs maybe £2,000 or £3,000, maybe what, $3,000 or $4,000 US, maybe a little bit more, to get on sale on Amazon. And that's because I hired a editor to go through it about 10,000 times. And I did a bunch of other things as well. I get around £5, maybe $10 per every copy sold. And the sales of the book, they're okay. So maybe 5,000, maybe 10,000, I don't know, more, because Moz just bought 1,300 of them.
Oh my God.
But I mean, so financially, it's not a life-changing amount. I mean, it helps, but it's not a life-changing amount. What it has done is that it helps you get your name out there, it helps you get your word, it helps you get your message out there. So books have an incredible value to build your business. It helps to say, I literally wrote the book. I remember visiting a client and seeing my book on their bookshelf, which is one of the most amazing feelings you can have, right? So financially, I don't think it's a huge business, the book itself. And I think it takes a lot of time and I think it takes a lot of work. But I think it's worth doing if you have an idea that you want to get out that's unique, or if you have something that you want to build, a reputation you want to build, or I don't know, there has to be something there. And I don't know what's happening at the moment, but it's not happening. Or I'm wrong, and there's lots of people that are working on books that I haven't seen yet. But judging by the last 90 days and what's coming out in the next 90 days, there's nothing there. And the last couple of years has been a very barren couple of years.
Well, I do want to say I can validate your contention that books help other parts of your business, because we have had someone come to Community Geek and said, oh, I just heard about you guys, as in Feverbee. I was like, oh, well, how? Picked up a copy to Buzzing Communities, and I loved it.
Well, here's a secret. And I don't think it's a big secret particularly. Back in 2011, 2012, 2013, our business doubled in size very quickly, because what I noticed is that a lot of people were getting in touch with us saying, hey, I've read your book, I'd be interested in having a conversation with you. So it occurred to us, if we just get more people to read our book, we'll have more business. So we had a intern that reached out to every single meetup group and event that was going there to send out, you know, 500 copies of these books or 1,000 copies of these books. Because it's a print-on-demand book, it's a self-published book, it cost us maybe $2 per copy to do this. And that's not a lot of money. I mean, it builds up. But in terms of getting that book into the hands of so many people at once, it's an incredibly valuable thing. So it helps to be able to do that. It's a new calling card for us. So I'd recommend that more people do it.
Writing a book would be an interesting experience. I don't know. I don't know if that'd be for me, but it'd be very interesting to think about. Who knows? I mean, eventually, people in my age level, you know, are going to have to come into that space and sort of take over as the veterans of the community space move on to other projects.
Your age level. How old are you?
I'm 28.
I'm 29, your age level.
One of us is hitting 30 first.
Yep, I'm afraid so.
What's next? That is it. We are done for this week.
Awesome. That's it for this week.
Yeah. So join us next week, you guys. We will be back, of course. I know we missed a week because of the 4th of July celebrations, but we will be back. You'll have another episode out, I estimate, by the 21st. And I want to add this in as well. If you're listening to this podcast and you have particular topics or, you know, questions you want answered, topics you want discussed, pieces of content you want our opinion on, email me at greg@feverbee.com. And I won't say that we'll do every request that we get, but definitely as our listenership grows, we're going to be more interested in interacting with you guys directly on the show and fielding your questions and talking about stuff that's important to you, not just what we think's important. So reach out to me. I'll be happy to hear from you. And with that, have a good week, everybody.
Thanks a lot, and I'll see you next week.